It's so good to be here. This is Talk Story, the longest running talk show in Maui. Come on in, David. I told everyone that David would show up, right? I mean, ye of little faith. David Johnston arriving in. Yay, are we lucky or not? And it's so nice to have back in the studio again, Leanna Locke.
Hello.
A very successful performance this last weekend with Jekyll and Hyde. And so nice to have Peter Liu back in the studio. Aloha, Peter.
Aloha.
So congratulations, David.
Thank you.
Let me turn your mic up a little bit. That would help. I was, number one, I thought just from the very beginning and your lovely statements that you made at the beginning of the show, all the way through, I kept thinking of you because people have no idea how much work went into the making of Jekyll and Hyde. And even, I was just saying, even from the programs, which are beautiful, to all of the hours and hours, probably thousands of hours of work, from the staging, the sets, the choreography, to all the music. I mean, first class, so bravo on everything. Every single part of it was first class.
Thank you very much. That means a lot to me.
Well, you know it's true. I mean, after, you know, all these weeks and weeks of rehearsals, what's it like to be there and actually see? I mean, I know you've seen the dress rehearsal and everything, but what was it like to actually see it happening?
Well, it's really exciting to watch it come together. The change from the moment we move into the Mac, you know, like 4 or 5 days before opening to that opening night is pretty remarkable. It just exponentially grows and grows and grows. What was most fascinating for me on opening night was watching the audience reaction. I didn't know how people were going to respond to this show at all. And it was so quiet. People were on the edges of their seats. They were listening. They were attentive. And when there were moments like Leanna singing and other people, that the response was incredible.
So, oh yeah,
it was just watching the audience be sucked into the story.
Well, and you know what, it is an amazing story that really does draw you in. But on top of that, the vocals and the quality of the singing, I was just telling Leanna, I think the quality of the singing was the best quality voices all across that I've ever seen on a musical performances. Anywhere. I mean, the excellence of the quality. Broadway quality. I mean,
thank you,
Cindy. No holds barred, excellent quality. And I think that blew everyone away. I mean, because people have never seen Will Kimball. Will Kimball played the lead, which is a bear of a part. My gosh, you know, you realize when you're seeing this on the stage all the time, all that pressure. And then you hear, besides him being able to hold it, his voice. And I think we'd mentioned in some other interviews about the operatic quality of his voice. But when people think of opera, sometimes you think of pretentious, mm-hmm. but he's got the operatic quality without the pretension mm-hmm. of the opera voice.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's an accessibility to him, and there's a warmth that comes across, and there's a fierceness that comes across also. And it is a bear of a role.
I mean, he is.
He's playing two distinct characters with two distinct vocal patterns and choices and opportunities that he's got to meet.
You just get blown. Peter's doing Facebook. You want to do Facebook Live? You can do that. Have you tried Facebook Live yet? You could do Facebook Live on the interview, Peter. You got all these people. He's got all these people. If you want to check out what's going on, go to the Facebook. It's Jekyll and Hyde on Facebook. And the reviews on there, you can just go to the Facebook site and see the reviews are unbelievable. I mean, weren't you? Wasn't that nice, Leanna, to see those reviews? Was it great to read the reviews?
Oh my gosh! Well, it was just like David said. We didn't know how people were going to react, and so you know, I got home and my Facebook page is like blown up with people talking about this show. It was unreal. Yeah. People have just responded so positively to it. You know, we're hearing things like, this is as good as Les Mis, if not better. People are loving the music for this. And what's really great, they don't know the show, so they're coming in with not expecting that, and they're just totally blown away. But like you said, I think that they're really impressed by the caliber, and the show itself is just stunningly beautiful.
And I have to mention that it feels big. The way you have, the way the sets are done with the large sets, and it just fills that stage, you know. I mean, that's a big stage, mm-hmm. you know. And you know, I'd seen it a little bit up here, at MAPPA, you know, when you're doing the rehearsals, and but you can't get the feeling of it till you see the full depth of the staging and the height and then the full cast, you know, that really does. The chorus is unbelievable. You know, I have always felt MAPPA's got the best chorus of anything ever going on Maui.
We spend a lot of time with them, and they I think they actually work harder than the leads during the rehearsal process.
They do.
They're there more often, and
really?
we demand
yes.
a lot from them, yeah. But they're so essential to that overall look of the show and to making it move and flow.
You know, I haven't mentioned, and I should, is the orchestra.
Oh, my gosh.
And that, I mean, you know, like I was telling Ayanna, I mean, I'm a stickler for music. You know, I've been in music all my life. I love music. And sometimes you think, oh, well, you know, it's going to be good, but this is Maui. And I hate to say that, but this is sometimes what people's in their mind. It's like, no, this is the best. There's no, like, okay, this is Maui. You know, maybe it won't be as good. It's as good as Broadway.
It doesn't get better than that. I have friends that see community level shows on the mainland and they think, like, wow, MAPPA just surpasses this by far. Yes, you know, we really are bringing quality stuff. Gary Levitt, who's our music director, has done a wonderful job with the orchestra. He put together an A-team, and they were impressive from day one. I got to sit on their first rehearsal, and they were ready to go. We could have put them out there to perform the next day. They were ready.
Well, he knows.
Yeah.
The good musicians, and he knows who can do this, you know, and he knows his experience goes so deep that he knows enough how to pull it off. And he was there in most of the rehearsals working hand in hand with you. You worked with him, Leanna, didn't you? And you worked with Gary and the music. Was that happening when you did all your rehearsals? Was he there?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He helped teach us all the music and get us ready for staging, and he's been with us from the beginning. And I know that the three of us leads, Katie and myself and Will, have all attributed a lot of the work that we've done to, you know, Gary and
You know what
help.
I also got to mention, because I was saying, you get on stage, I didn't recognize you, of course, you know. You know, you're a Maui girl, and you're just like all cash, and then you get up there, and you got the full wig on, and the gowns are gorgeous. The costuming,
yes.
Oh my gosh. Who did the costuming, David?
Vanessa Cerrito was the designer, and like all of the Red Rat girls, she created all of those, and they built those.
People don't know who Red Rat. Red Rat's is rather a risque kind of bar dancers, and for its time, you know, kind of cutting edge, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, that was delicately said.
Yeah, that's nice, isn't it?
But that's when you see Lucy, and oh my God, she was a showstopper. Lucy Harris, played by Catherine Holtkamp, who I'd never heard sing before. She gets out there, no holds barred.
That's right.
And she's in this very sexy, skimpy outfit. And you're kind of like, you're not used to seeing that, right? On Maui stage, it's like, whoa, look at that. And she just eats it up. I mean, she just takes that role, and she just ran with it, didn't she?
She did. She's doing a phenomenal job in that role. And you know what I get a kick out of is that she told me at one point in rehearsal, and she said it other times, that this is a stretch for her in terms of playing this kind of a character. She said, I usually always play the roles that Leanna plays, the ingenue.
Oh, really?
So she was out there in new territory, but boy, she navigated her way fine through that territory. It's a stunningly wonderful performance.
Well, she's done some big, big acts. And we want to, at this point, add on, we're adding media to this. So if you want to watch this, you can watch this interview on Facebook and see it, because Peter's got his hi, Facebook fans. Is that on which site are you on, Peter?
It's on the Maui Academy of Performing Arts business page. So
Maui Academy of Performing Arts, and
so
you're doing Facebook
Live. facebook.com/Maui Academy.
Well, that's kind of cool. It's the first time we've actually done that. I thought of doing it before in the studio before, but why not?
You know? Yay!
Yeah, and just for our Facebook friends, I'm Cindy Paulus, and David Johnston's over here. Of course, he's the man behind the scenes that makes these big MAPPA performances happen. And Leanna Locke, who
Hello.
Is playing Emma, the lovely, sweet, loving fiance.
Yes, that's me.
Of the good Jekyll and Hyde.
Yes.
The good side. So in the role, your love for him is very obvious, mm-hmm. and it comes across. You do have chemistry.
Yeah,
you know, you and
I hope so. Yes,
you do. But then all of a sudden there's this drama that comes in with something that's hard to control, a situation of a side of a man you have never seen.
Right.
So how do you in this role bring that up out, you know, this feeling of what you're going through?
Well, what I think is really beautiful about Emma is that she struggles for a moment in there where she realizes that there's this other side to him, it's possible that he's done some really horrible things. And she has to come to terms with that, but she does. I think that she's one of the few people in the show that loves Jekyll completely. She loves Jekyll and Hyde. She accepts him for who he is and wants to help him. She's going to stick around for the long haul and help him if she can.
There is that beautiful duet in you do in the beginning with him at the party.
Yes, Take Me As I Am.
Take Me As I Am with you and Will. Oh, it's like the dream love, right? I mean, where you and him, and you sing it beautifully.
Thank you.
And it really sets it up.
Yes.
It sets up the whole basis of is this possible, unconditional love for someone is like that. Can you really love the good and the evil in someone?
Right, and I think that she does. She wavers on that for a second. I mean, of course she does. He does some pretty horrible things. But I think that she really, truly does love him unconditionally.
Yeah, how do we tell people, David, that are kind of wavering themselves about whether to go or not? I know we all have busy lives. There's lots and lots of stuff going on. We know, I mean, there's so much happening. Number one, okay, if it's money, there are $15 tickets available. So at $15, folks, there's no excuses right there, right?
And I want to clarify that those aren't for bad seats. My mom came and saw the show all 3 days this past weekend.
Don't
and
you
she
love
sat
moms?
All yes. And she came out from California, folks.
Oh.
So
but
she sat all over the theater and she was up in the balcony and she loved sitting up there because you could see all of the movement that's going on the stage. You can see down into the orchestra pit and what's going on down there. So you're really getting the full sense of the entire show. So really, $15 tickets, not bad seats. Come and see it.
So money should not be an issue.
No.
No.
This final weekend, I think some people expect shows like this to be around for a long time, but this is not the case. As you know, and David and everyone, you know, this is expensive to rent the Mac out for 6 nights. It's actually more than 6 nights because you have to get in there for the rehearsals as well.
Right.
So this is a very expensive proposition putting on the show. And it is the big, now this is where we make people feel guilty. This is a big, big fun. Let's milk them for the guilt. No, I mean, this is the big fundraiser. This is what you do to support all of the amazing MAPA programs. And it's not like you're asking for a donation. I mean, this is a show that you'll always remember and you'll love and you'll rave about. So, folks, what would keep you from going? You got to call 242-SHOW. You can get great tickets. I mean, you really can get great tickets, like you were saying, Liana. All the seats are great. And you'll see parents there.
Yes. Parents.
Wondering
friends.
Why you didn't come see their daughter. What else could you say, David?
I don't know. You keep going. You're on a roll.
Yeah. You tell him, Cindy.
Yeah.
No,
all are going to have to answer to Cindy if you don't see this show.
Well, there you go. Let's bring that up. People, I mean, if you don't show up, you should really feel guilty because this is one of the great, great shows to see. And I hate to see empty seats.
I do, too.
And a show like this. Let's really make it be truthful. There's plenty of people out there that should go see the show. There should be no reason for empty seats. Every single seat should be full. I know you came out from MAPA, folks. I know you've come out in the past. You've seen Les Mis, blown away by it. Yes, everyone knows Les Mis. They've seen the movie. They've gone, you know, and they came out for Miss Saigon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's no reason you should come out for this. This is an amazing performance that you will always remember. So
I think that's one of the things. We did battle from the beginning. We knew when we chose the title that, okay, this is probably going to be a hard sell for us because Jekyll and Hyde, how many people know? How many people know that it's a musical? You know, how many people have had a not so pleasant experience reading the book in high school, you know? You know, there's a lot of stuff around that title. So we expected it to be a hard sell. And the first weekend, to be really honest, we were a little disappointed in the ticket sales the first weekend, especially after we opened and the buzz began to happen. And then it became a thing of, look, it's not just about the money. It's just about, here's a good, and I'll say it, here's a good piece of work, you know? And we really want to share this story with our community. It's it's worth seeing. It's the experience is a pretty wonderful ride, and we want people to partake in that, so.
You know, and I felt, because there's so many people who are on the cast that I know or kind of been friends with, and you see them and you think, I know that person. Oh, yeah, I know that person. Oh, yeah, I know Virgie. I know Paul James Brown, you know. I know Marion Hiller. I know some of the people, you know. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I know you, David. And I thought, well, God, but, you know, I never knew that they could really step out and do the work they do so beautifully. I know your quality, David. I know you. I know every show you've done is excellent. And people really should just know that you did the show and come out because of that, because every show they've seen has been great. But again, I mean, we can talk and talk and talk, you know, but you got to at some point just take that step and go out and buy the tickets. Mm-hmm. And you'll be sorry if you don't, because this is an amazing show. Mm-hmm. So we really want people to go out and get tickets to Jekyll and Hyde. Called 242 Show. There's great seats available. You can go to MauiArts.org. If you don't want to do that, you can just get tickets online. And I'll tell you something. This is a show that's going to blow you away. I mean, even me having talked to you, David, and talked to Will Kimball, who is amazing in Jekyll and Hyde, you know, all of that, and having seen even the rehearsal, didn't expect it to be as good as it was. I mean, it was flawless, and you can very rarely say that. You've done how many shows, David? I mean, how many hundreds of shows have you done?
No idea.
It's hundreds, isn't it?
It's hundreds, yes.
It's hundreds of shows.
Yes.
And didn't you, I mean, when you were looking at it with your director's eye, didn't you just go, wow?
Yeah, I was sitting there Friday, and I just went, I was sucked into the story, and that doesn't happen very often, just after you've worked on them for so long, and it was like, I went, wow, this has got something that not all shows have, and I want people to see it.
weren't you proud?
Very proud, very proud.
Did you tell them all? Did you tell them all?
I told them all. Okay. Yes, I did.
We know.
And it is a lot of work too. And the other thing I just want to touch on is that you were touching on a little bit there is that. This is Maui made. This is all local. Those are all local people up on that stage, and I just am so amazed that we can produce this kind of product here. You know, it is. I would put this up against a lot of professional productions.
Yeah. Oh, I was just saying to Liana before we started that that's the truth. Is this is not just something that's a Maui thing. This is a professional. Absolutely professional performance that you could see in any major city.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking minor cities. This would be good in any major city, and it is something to be proud of. But then again, a lot of the leads have done professional
work, right?
Yeah, Katie right. was on tour. She toured in Cats.
Katie plays Lucy, the kind of sexy role in
yes,
the yeah.
Yeah, she's one of the three leads. She toured with Cats. She played the cat. I can't remember her character's name, but the cat that sings
Grisabella.
Memory. Grisabella.
Oh,
thank you. There
she
it is.
She got to play that.
She was Grisabella on tour,
lead,
guys. Grisabella on tour.
Wow.
Will Kimball
song.
was an opera singer, a professional opera singer for I think eight or nine years.
Wow.
So these people are the real deal, but they have chosen to move here to Maui and share their talent with the island, and I, for one, am grateful.
You know, if we can do continue to do work at this level and have this kind of a caliber of a show going on, we are really a hidden industry here for Maui. We could become quite a catalyst, I think, in conjunction with the tourist industry.
That's what I would love to see, David. I would really love to be able to see these hotels recommend that they send their people, the concierge, say, listen, you've got to go check out this show. It's only going to be here this coming weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You got to go down because it's going to really blow you away. You're going to be really surprised how great it is. And if the hotels and the concierge really did that, you know, and let people know, that's a huge untapped part of the audience here. that will experience Maui in a way that they never really thought of. There's no reason we can't compete with, I'm thinking of Ashland.
Yeah.
Right, and people go to Ashland, and this is just as good as what they would see in Ashland, right?
Yes, I think we could have a thriving industry here. You know, that's sort of always been a dream of mine, that we've got this wonderful tourist industry already in place here and so many reasons to come to Maui. But what if we augment it with just this wonderful theater that we can build here and grow?
And you've seen it and I've seen it, David, and everyone that's in the theater sees it. Our theater has gotten better and mm-hmm. better and better and better. It's amazing the growth that we've seen here.
It's been phenomenal. When I came in the 90s, from to where we are now, it's just amazing.
The professionalism has gotten better and better, and you've been able to hone your talents as a director. I think maybe 10 years ago, tell me if it's true, 10, 15 years ago, you might have had to hold back on what you were demanding from your people because you didn't want to ask too much. It seems like now you're not afraid to ask everything, right?
Well, what's very exciting now is that I've worked with some people for a lot of years, 10 years,
Have you worked with them that long?
Yeah, David and I have been working together for 11 years, actually, this year.
And so there's a sort of a feeling of a company that's growing here, and we know how we work, and we can take shortcuts in terms of some of the rehearsal processes to get to the meteor possibilities, so the exploration gets deeper and more profound, and the product becomes richer as a result of that. So to have that kind of, company that's growing and working together, and everybody's developing their skills and honing their skills, that's what makes us grow, I think.
On top of that, I was talking with Liana before the show started about how beautifully you stage these things. Mm. And a lot of shows, it's just like, okay, you do the set, go to black, set gets changed, you wait there. You have really developed a skill, David, in being able to seamlessly do a show where everyone gets involved in moving. It's almost like a ballet of sorts, of moving the sets around. So you don't have any separation. It moves in almost like a feng shui flawlessly through these different ways. And it brings you into a show without any kind of pause or separation.
Yeah, I'm glad you talk about that, because that is one thing we've been working on a lot. I hate it when you go to a show and a scene ends, there's a blackout, you wait for the scene change to happen, because you stop the story each time you do that. So you have to regain the energy, the momentum, you have to pull the audience back in. What I want to, once we start, is not to let the audience go. I want to give them the full ride. So look, you're in this, and you're on the train with us, and we're going, and there's nothing to interfere with or get in the way of that story and your experience with that story. And I just believe that those transitions between scenes become part of an added layer to telling the story. Like in Jekyll and Hyde, there are so many street scenes in this show. It's how do you portray all these different street scenes? Then you've got the added thing on some of the street scenes. There's a description in the book for the show that says, okay, now from this point onward, everybody's supposed to experience the world through Hyde's eyes, through the change that he's going through. And I'm going,
well, how do you do that?
How do you do that? That's what I said.
What? Lighting. I'm thinking immediately you got to change the lighting, which you do in this, and great lighting in
but
it.
But it is that thing. Okay, so look, when we're twirling those sets and doing that ballet-like work with those sets, that's Hyde's world spinning out of control and spinning and changing all around him. So that metaphor actually becomes a real visual statement on stage.
Interesting, yeah. Interesting. And it is, people have to realize this is a psychological drama.
It is.
It's a very, very deep psychological drama. I almost thought, what would Hitchcock have done with this? Mm-hmm. If Hitchcock could have done Jekyll and Hyde, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what people may not know that I would like to express to them about Jekyll and Hyde is it's based on the desire to bring good to the world, and the character of Jekyll. wants to do good. He wants to remove evil. He wants to just make the world beautiful and right. And he thinks, why should we have evil? This is a question we're asking in this day and age. Why is there bad in the world? Why is there killing? Why is there evil? Mm-hmm. Why can't we just all have love and light? You know, it's the kind of question I would ask. And this is the premise people may not be aware of. It's really a premise that's a psychological thing. How do we really have that? And for your character, Leon, mm-hmm. how do we have that love that can overcome the judgments and overcome and forgive? I mean, these are huge questions for our time.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's actually really relevant. Overall, it's a rough ending. I won't give away the ending. It's a rough ending. But overall, I think that love prevails in this show. It does. Mm-hmm. Thankfully. Thankfully it does.
I think that's kind of, I mean, that's sort of my theory with all of the shows that I choose to do. That you know, when you start digging down through the layers, ultimately all of them come down to one theme, and it is about love in some form of its manifestation, you know, and it's about that need we have in our society to accept love, to honor love, to be open to love, you know, and that the power of love can transform us. It can change our world.
That's very true. And on top of that, nothing quite gets to you like a drama with the singing and the people mm-hmm. and the fact that there's interaction, that you're right there in it, that you feel like you're a part of it. It makes you think and feel. And this isn't just a feeling one. It's a thinking and feeling. Mm-hmm. More than a lot of shows. A lot of shows don't make you think so much, but this is a thinking and feeling. And it's so powerful. It's so powerful. So if you want to go to the Facebook site, which I would recommend people doing, you can
Absolutely.
Read some of these reviews. And mm-hmm. I think these, after you do the Facebook live, that they post it. So the interview will be up there as well. So you can see this if you're listening and you want to later go check it out on Facebook or tell your friends. It's kind of nice to see behind the scenes. And I mean, I really have to say thank you, because no one realizes quite the amount of hours and work and money. This, I think you told me, David, what it cost to put this on the last time I talked to you. And I truly was shocked. Yeah, I was shocked at the investment.
It's about $270,000. Dollars to make this project happen.
That's a lot of stress.
That's
a lot of putting yourself out there on the line, folks. So
I got two hats too. I've got the artistic. Okay, it's got to be successful artistically, and then the producer hat. It's got to be successful financially too, and it will be if you know. I believe this community wants this level of artistry and entertainment. And I think they'll support us, and I just keep believing that, and we keep, as a company, wanting to put out the best that we can and to make this happen. So, but it is scary. You know, we're a small organization, really, and it's a big investment of financially and of our energy and time.
Speaking of that financial burden, we have to put a shout out to our producer circle that helped us put on this show. There are many people that donated to this project, and just to name a few of them: Mason and Trudy Williams, Jack and Amory Wilder, the Bellafiore Family Fund, Oriel Flavelle, and Michael and Margie Tibbett. They were some of our top donors for this.
Well,
and
thank
there are
you
many
to them.
More. So thank you to those people.
Yeah, no, that makes a difference. And I have to say this too: people, if you don't support these great projects, they can't continue, because these
That's
things
true.
Have to make money. I mean, if you have something that doesn't make money, you go, well, if we're losing money and this is a fundraiser, what do you do? You know, so if people want good theater of this caliber, you know, if they want really great performances, that means getting out there and enjoying yourself and getting a ticket and really making it happen, you know.
We will make it worth your while, we promise.
It's so absolutely true, absolutely true. And you know, I know you're all busy, we all are, of course. But David, I just want to say thank you, and thank you, Leon, and thank you, Peter. I mean, there's how many people involved in this project that made it possible? How many people have been involved in making this project possible?
We have 50-some in the cast. We have an orchestra of 17. We've got, you know, probably 20 people backstage. We've got people building sets, marketing the show. It's in the hundreds and hundreds of people who make it work.
Wow, amazing. Yeah.
All the folks at the Mac, too.
Yeah. Oh, that is one of the best things. When we move into the Mac, we get this team of professional people there to help us complete the project at the Mac. The lighting, Mark Estrella, who I love working with on the lighting, Mark and Matt this year. I got to put a quick shout out into Joe Arias, who does the sound for us.
Oh, yeah, excellent sound.
He's doing such a good job.
Yeah, sitting at a console trying to manage 24 microphones at one time
and an orchestra. That's a lot.
He's a genius.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And, I almost would do a Hanaho and go again. I think I would, actually. So, I think I really would go again. I may come this Sunday.
Be my guest.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Be my guest.
I would.
Tell me when you'd like to come.
Sunday.
Okay.
Okay.
Sunday.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, David. Thank you, Lana Locke. And thank you all the people at MAPA who made Jekyll and Hyde so great. Don't miss it the last weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, called 242 Show. Don't miss this show.
Thanks, Cindy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha.